When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's so easy to be average. You know it as well as I know it. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player. We don't have enough great players. To hell with that! We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
Proud of our young people in the classroom, in the community, and most especially in 310 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
Three things. Number one, the team that hits the hardest and the longest, the team that starts the fastest, and the team is too damn smart to make mistakes.
If you take it to them, if you don't make mistakes, and you keep taking it to them, hell, there's no question who wins.
It's time for the best Buckeye podcast. By fans, for the fans, where they hate that team up north as much as you do. It's time for the OHIO podcast. OH!
IO! Welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I am Buckeye Boggs, and he is Chris Wiles. What's going on tonight, Chris?
Oh, man, it's a great weekend, Eric. Let me tell you, everybody I know is freaking out a little bit about the snow, but let me tell you, for those of us who work in education, we're saying, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, because I'll tell you what, we love those extended weekends every now and then. I'm not going to lie to you.
I bet you are. I bet you are, my man. Hey, we got some programming notes for everybody. Thanks for all of you who are already in. Welcome in. We have quite a few of you watching, both on Facebook, and we have quite a few there watching on YouTube, and we appreciate that. So, you know, we have some things here that we want to let you all know. We have more than just the OHIO podcast, varsity videos. We have Buckeye Tobacco. We have Shots from the Shot. Hoping to have a Shots from the Shot episode here for you this week. Jason Monk and myself will be podcasting about that very thing very shortly. Buckeyes did come off a nice win this weekend over Iowa. Got off the losing snap, so good for them. Lady Buckeyes absolutely killing it. So we have that to talk about as well. I'll be doing my tobacco videos, but varsity videos is going to be taking a hiatus for a little bit. So we're just going to have to put that on the shelf a little bit. So those of you who like that, unfortunately, that show is going to be missing for a little bit. As far as the live shows here, as far as the podcast, of course, The live show is the podcast now. We've been podcasting for 4 years now. That podcast is still going to be going on. All of you obviously know who listened to it, the audio version of this. This is episode number 269. So the live show on Sunday nights is the podcast if you want to listen to the audio version. And also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention all of you watching on Rumble. Holy smokes, Chris. Our Rumble numbers are through the roof. Obviously, there's definitely a need for Ohio State football content on Rumble, and we are so glad that you all have chosen to watch those videos. Right off the bat, we have Ryan Wickerham in the house. My guys, you are our guy, Ryan. Appreciate you coming in today. Jason Monk talking about Shots from the Shot. He says, what's up, fellas? Good to see Jason in tonight. Hoping that all of you will be participating in all of the great content that we will be bringing to you guys tonight. All right, let's jump right into this, Chris. Let's get into our first conversation here, our first content. And that is, a new era begins. How will Ryan Day handle this QB competition? And who has a leg up? I think we can look in the past, maybe, as to what to expect, possibly, when it comes to what we might see in this quarterback competition this offseason. But I want to get your thoughts first, Chris.
Well, Eric, for me, you know, I think we have a couple of very, very good options coming in at quarterback. I mean, obviously, we got McCord returning. He's going to be a junior this year. He's been in the system for a little while. We got Devin Brown, who we really haven't seen a lot of on the field, especially throwing the ball. But, you know, he does have a lot of talent. We've got the youngster, Lincoln Kleinholz, I believe is how we pronounce that, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got him coming in as already as well. You know, for me, I think – Devin Brown has a lot of upside, maybe even more upside than Kyle McCord. He also has a little more eligibility. But I think you got to go with Kyle McCord. He's been in the system a little bit longer. He has that experience. He knows Marvin Harrison and already has a chemistry from him going back to their high school days. I think the fact that he has stuck it out and not transferred, I think that's going to carry a little bit of weight with Ryan Day as well. The fact that he hung with the program when it would have been easy to jump into the transfer portal like everybody else is doing. For me, I just think this is really Kyle McCord's job going into the spring game. It's his job to lose. Now, if he doesn't come out and impress, I could definitely see perhaps Devin Brown sliding in there. I don't think we see the youngster this year. I think he's still a little bit of a project. But Devin Brown could definitely push Kyle McCord if Kyle McCord doesn't come out and impress in the spring. But it, for me, it's McCord's job to lose.
So I don't know that Devin Brown is going to push Kyle McCord. And I've heard a lot of people say that Devin Brown's got better footwork as far as his awareness in the pocket, his ability to scramble, things of that nature. Chris, I'll be honest with you. I just don't think that that is important to Ryan Day. It's not nearly as important on his list of criteria that he looks at in choosing a starting quarterback as it was for Urban Meyer, obviously. It's a completely different offense, and we know now by some of the things that have come out in the media that Ryan Day has told his quarterbacks, I don't want you to run unless you absolutely have to. And as we learned, C.J. Stroud really took that to heart until the last game of his career. He was not going
to run. When he had to.
When he absolutely had to. You're right. And so I don't think that when you look at these two quarterbacks, being Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, that with the ability to scramble or run or the read option is nearly as important to Ryan Day as someone who can manage the offense and make all the throws within the offense. And, of course, based off that route tree that Ohio State has with these wide receivers, you need someone with a big arm who can throw all of those throws in that route tree, all of those NFL throws that you hear about. So that being said, I say that, but at the same time, I'm going to contradict myself and say Ryan Day is nowhere near going to call a starter in this thing. There is absolutely no way that we come out of spring and Ryan Day says, Kyle McCord, Devin Brown's my starter. And here's why. Yeah. He does not want either one of these guys to go into the portal. He just doesn't want that to happen. He wants both of them there at least for one more season. He wants four guys, four scholarship quarterbacks in that room at all times. And in order for that to happen, I think it's very, very important or paramount here that he keeps his decision close to the vest and he does exactly what he did when he had Justin Fields here. And he says, I'm not going to call the starter until game one.
Yeah.
Did the same thing with CJ. So I think going on past history, Ryan Day is not going to call a starter. He's going to talk about it being a competition from day number one. And I do agree with you that I believe Kyle McCord does have a leg up in this thing. But Devin Brown absolutely could push the envelope here. And if he comes out and has a really good spring, and I'm not talking spring game because, let's be honest, that's just icing on the cake. What's the substance? That's the practices in spring. Can Devin Brown push Kyle McCord enough here that they come out of spring and Ryan Day says, at this point, it's 50-50. But I think he really wants to know who has the leg up coming out of spring. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. You know, Day is going to know, I think, or at least have a good idea after the spring of who his starting quarterback is going to be. But I'm with you. There's no way he's going to share that with us or with anybody else. He needs those two experienced quarterbacks. This is a very good roster at the skill positions right now. And you need somebody who is going to be a more than capable, not just capable, but more than capable backup should something happen to whoever the starter is. So he doesn't want to see anybody leave this system. I mean, you look at the injuries we saw in the running back room last year, and you know, I just don't see that, like you said, I can't imagine him saying, okay, Devin, you know, we're giving Kyle the job, so, you know, good luck to you. I just don't see that. He has to have that experienced backup. And we don't have that in Lincoln, and we don't have that with the kid who transferred in. I mean, yes, he's a graduate transfer, I believe, the young man who transferred in, correct?
Yeah, he's got 1 year of eligibility.
He's got 1 year of eligibility left, but he's not familiar with the system.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he needs both of them there. So you're right. He's not going to make a move.
That's an insurance policy. If one of them leaves and then you have an injury and then you're in the old crap situation, you know, you've got someone there with some college experience. That's all that is. Ryan says, Mark Pantone said, Brown is elite. Devin Brown is elite there. So, I mean, having Pantone's, you know, I guess, stamp of approval is one thing. Getting Ryan Day's is what really matters there.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's great that Mark likes you and is pulling for you and maybe feels that you're really good in the weight room. Maybe you're really good in the film room, and all of those things do count. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, can you lead this offense? CJ led the offense in Ryan Day's mind. I watched a former OSU quarterback who went down to via LSU, who now leads Cincinnati, who's an absolute dog. Do we have that guy? Do we have a guy like that in this quarterback room? We're going to find out.
Well, I'll tell you what I do like, Eric, is I do like the fact that we hadn't even heard CJ make his announcement yet, but you know, Kyle McCord basically came out and said, it's my turn. Kyle McCord is bringing some swagger to the field. He's got some confidence in his game right now, and I like that.
I like that confidence.
I do too.
I want my quarterback to be confident. He better be confident. Jason Monk says he's pulling for McCord. You know, there's one other thing here that we would be remiss if we didn't mention. This is obviously, everybody knows this who follows the program, but McCord has some experience with a very important offensive weapon.
Very important.
So being former teammates with Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, that's got to account for something. I don't know how much, but obviously it accounts for something. And so I would say whichever quarterback is going to go out there and make that chemistry, build that chemistry with Emeka Egbuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Julian Fleming, that's the guy who's obviously going to probably win that starting job. But again, I just don't think Ryan Day is going to make that announcement. Until it's time. Here's another question for you. Let's throw it out there, man. Ryan Wickerham, could you imagine if he played two QBs?
I've seen that work very, very few times, Eric, and nothing recent. I mean, what the most successful system was back when Tebow was at Florida and they ran two QBs probably. I mean, I just don't see a two QB system working, especially with the type of offense that Ryan Day runs. It's, you know, it's about rhythm. It's about, momentum, for lack of a better word, you know. And you can't gain momentum. You can't get into a rhythm playing a two QB system. You know, we saw it a little bit back. The last time I remember us doing it really big was Jermaine and Stanley Jackson. They were a true 2QB system. But I just can't see it. I mean, it maybe as a way in some of the games, you draw up a few plays where you can get the other guy in there, get him some playing time. But for me, I just don't think two QB systems really work that well, especially in this kind of offense. And I don't think it brings us any hope of a Big Ten title or a national title when you've got one guy looking over the other's shoulders. I mean, you look back what happened with JT and Cardale, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It wouldn't make sense unless both quarterbacks were extremely different. They were opposite style quarterbacks. I don't know that Devin Brown is so much different than Kyle McCord. Even if he is more athletic and a little bit faster and wants to run the football a little bit more than McCord, is it that significantly different enough to justify running a two quarterback system? Plus, I'm not a fan of it personally. No. I just feel like it brings up way too many issues on your offense as far as leadership, who's the man in the last drive, who are they going to go to, you know, commanding that huddle.
Well, I was going to say another big thing, Eric's going to be, you're going to have guys jumping constantly because they're going to have different cadences, different rhythm to their cadence. I mean, it is a recipe for disaster. I think when you see a two QB system run.
Yeah, Monk says the 2QB system is asking for failure. There isn't ever any chemistry built that way. You know, I agree with you, Monk. That's you really are. You're almost asking for failure there. All right, let's move on to our next topic here. This one actually comes from Jason Monk, and he actually proposed this question to us a while ago. And I told him we would base an entire show around it. Here we are. So this entire next segment, Monk, is dedicated to you and this question. He says, which former quarterback would you have loved to have seen play in the Ryan Day offense? Now, if we go back to when Ryan Day was the OC.
2017, correct?
16 or 17.
I think he came in January of 2017.
So we have seen three of the best quarterbacks in Ohio State history statistically under his offense guidance and leadership. Now, there's a giant argument out there that Ohio State's never produced an NFL caliber quarterback, and that's partially true. We've not had a major winning NFL quarterback. However, we've had some doggone good quarterbacks, some Heisman winning quarterbacks. So I've got to throw this question out to you first, and I want you to answer this one, Chris. Who are some former quarterbacks you would have loved to have seen in this Ryan Day offense?
Well, I'm going to throw a little love towards the Monk myself, you know, because one of the first ones that came to my mind was Kenny Guyton as well. I mean, I would have loved to have seen him, but he would have still had to get on the field. For me, the two that really stood out, though, one being Cardale Jones. He was not the most athletic guy in the world. He was more that pocket passer. He had the big arm. I think he would have done very well in a Ryan Day system. I think Day knew better how to manage a guy like Cardale than what we saw with Urban, who wanted to make him run the same playbook that we saw with JT Barrett, and he just didn't have the same athleticism to do that. Better arm, not the same athleticism. The other one that came to my mind, which I thought would, you know, and there's always this what-if surrounding him, that's Braxton Miller. You know, when Braxton was playing the quarterback position before the injury, before he had to go to wide receiver, man, I just think Ryan Day could have really designed some dynamic things to do with that guy. I mean, you look at what he did with Justin Fields, and I think that, you know, I think that comparably as far as arm strength and things go, Braxton and Justin were very similar. I think that Braxton was a little more obviously dynamic as far as athletically goes. So I think I would have loved to have seen him get his hands on Braxton, but the one that stands out to me most is probably Cardale. I think Cardale was robbed during his time here after that great three-game run. I think he was put in a position where he wasn't set up to succeed, and I think that Ryan Day could have done a lot with that talent.
So I've got two names for you, and one of them is kind of a shot in the dark here. He's one of my favorite people of all time. When I had the chance to meet this guy, I was just wowed by how kind he was. He was a doggone good quarterback back when quarterback play was not nearly what it is today.
But would this be something we ran into at a tailgate last year, Eric? The quarterback you ran into I was at Ryan's tailgate last year, wasn't it?
No. I'm thinking about Cornelius Green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Corny Green was way before his time.
Yeah.
You know, this is a Woody Hayes guy. This is a guy who played with Archie Griffin back in the 70s, man. And he had just about as many rushing yards as he did passing yards. And this was obviously under one of Woody Hayes' best teams. It was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But Greeny, man, Corny had an arm.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have seen someone like that when you think about an older era of football and bringing it into modern times. I would have loved to have seen what Corny Green could have done in Ryan Day's offense. I think that would have been really neat to see. The other one I've got for you is probably someone that you're not going to like. But, dude, there was – if things wouldn't have got a little sideways for him.
TP?
Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
He was built like a German tank, man.
Yes, he was.
Huge human being, big arm, very muscular, extremely athletic. And I've said this before and I've gotten a little bit of heat from Chris from Ohio State fans on this. I think Terrell Pryor was a little bit of Justin Fields before Justin Fields. He's a bigger Justin Fields. Justin might have him slightly maybe in the athletic department a little bit, but not much. And I think Terrell, his arm strength and just his overall game, what he brought as a quarterback, the whole package was incredible. Now, like I said, things got a little sideways there at the end. You know, and in today's environment, it would have been like, no big deal. Who cares? But back then, of course, you know, it ended up getting the sweater vest fired. But I think Terrell Pryor and Ryan Day's offense would have been national championship gold. So those were the two that came to my mind. Let's see what you all think out there. Ryan says Troy Smith. I mean, 2006 Troy Smith.
Yeah,
you know, when he was actually allowed to run the offense and throw the football, that could have made a big difference, absolutely, for him. Yeah, that's a good one, Ryan. Jason says, Cardale couldn't hit the mid-level throws in 2015. In his three-game run, I think he greatly benefited from having Devin Smith, who was the greatest deep ball tracker ever.
He did, and Jason's not completely wrong. He did struggle with some of those mid-level throws at times. But you know what? Who knows what would have happened with a different offense? You know, again, this was not an offense that was set up for Cardale to succeed. It really wasn't. This was an offense that was set up for JT Barrett to succeed.
They had everything that season set up for them, And those of you who know the story of what was going on behind the scenes with that coaching staff,
yeah,
it was an absolute nightmare.
Train wreck. Yeah,
it was a train wreck. Yeah, and it was you know no fault to Cardale or JT or
right.
I mean, they had the best roster in college football, and we kind of just talked about this on the last episode a little bit. You know, having the best roster in college football is one thing. Managing that roster is a completely different other thing, and they failed that season really, really bad. They failed. Maybe a couple other guys that come to your mind, Chris. Anybody else that kind of? I mean, I've got one other guy I want to bring up, but I want to hear what else you've got, and we want to know what all you think out there too.
You know, like I said, I'm with Monk. I would like to have seen what would happen if Kenny Guyton could have got out there on the field regularly in a system like what Ryan Day ran. I really think that he was. You know, like you said, Ryan Day likes those leaders. I think he was a great leader on the field. I think he had talent. I think he was unfortunately buried behind a, you know, a great roster. You know, he came in when Braxton went down the one time, but, you know, he never really got a great shot to get in there. And as I think back, you know, I mean, it's really hard to think, could some of these guys have really excelled in Ryan Day's, you know, system? Because you think back to some of the guys that we had with the, you know, the Bobby Hoyings and the Craig Krenzels and the, you know, going back to well, a gentleman who we're going to talk to, I believe, next week, Greg Fry, Kent Graham. You know, these guys were very good for their era. But I don't know if they could have, if they were built for this type of particular, you know, offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'd have a hard time. You're going to be hard pressed going back to find somebody who I think could really excel in Ryan's day's offense, who's not a more modern era quarterback.
So what I hear you saying maybe is that, and this is a scary thing to get into, the success of Ohio State is based off Ryan Day's offense, not so much the player.
Well, for a long time, and we saw it, I think, a little bit with, you know, jumping to the pros a little bit. You know, I like my NFL. Tom Brady, considered, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. The argument was always that he was a Belichick system quarterback. Well, he went and he kind of put the kibosh on that win and won Super Bowl in Tampa. But, you know, since then, when did he really?
Yeah, but he's also 40, so he's older than me. So.
Well, he is. He is older. And of course, your talents are going to decline. But I think that the right type of athlete benefits from the right type of system. I think it's not necessarily one or the other. You have to have both.
Okay.
Because if you take, I mean, you look, you take, you know, Justin Fields and put him in a Jim Tressel or John Cooper system. Are we going to see the Justin Fields that we saw passing the ball? No. We're going to see a more dynamic running Justin Fields, but we're not going to see the passing Justin Fields.
Okay. Okay. Got a name for you. Okay. One more. I want to throw this one out at you. How about the babyface assassin? No Joe Maybe. Germain? No Joe Germain? No?
Maybe. You know, he had the arm for it. He did have swagger. You know, he was a good leader on the field. He would have succeeded more under Ryan Day than he did under Cooper, and he had a pretty good run under Cooper.
He would have definitely succeeded more under Ryan Day's offense than he would Urban Meyer. That is absolutely for sure. Urban Meyer would have never even had him on the team.
No, he would have had Stanley Jackson running the ball.
he would have ran Stanley's legs off, yes.
He would have had the original JT Barrett in that case, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking Joe Germain might have actually, in Ryan Day's offense, done really, really well. And he did pretty good in John Cooper's offense. So.
Did you catch that last comment that just came up, Eric? Is somebody kind of sweet on Joe Germain?
Yeah. Yeah. Out of all my autographs, that one might be one of her favorites. Yeah. Yeah.
That or Bobby Carpenter, right?
Yeah. I'll throw it up there. Yeah. So. The beautiful wife is watching, and she said, oh, yes, he had swagger with that baby face. someone's going to be sleeping on the couch tonight. It's probably going to be me. So, yeah, you get good call there. Good call. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We do want to let you know Greg Fry was scheduled to join us and obviously continue on with this quarterback conversation we're having. He had to reschedule for next week. So Greg Fry will be on next week's show. So if you had those questions for Greg, make sure you keep them and bring those back. I do want to get one more comment here because this was one guy I actually thought of.
Yeah.
Joel He says, what about Art Schlichter or Kirk Herbstreit? Kirk Herbstreit, I don't care what system you would have put that guy in.
He's a great announcer.
He's definitely a better announcer than he was quarterback. But Art Schlichter, I thought about that one, Chris. What do you think?
You know, that guy throwing the ball, yeah, he was the one who set the records before our guys came along here recently. So, you know, I do think that Schlichter would have definitely had an even more stellar career under Ryan Day in that kind of offense. But, again, you know, we can't really know because there was such a difference in the way they played football in that era. It's just so hard to predict.
It really is. It really is. But yeah, I met Art. I actually liked the guy.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to have seen that too.
In fact, that's who I thought you were going to say earlier before you said Cornelius Green, because did you not actually meet him at Ryan's tailgate last year?
I did. I met him at Ryan's tailgate. Yes. Last year. Absolutely. Yep. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. All right. Thank you, Mastermind. We appreciate your sponsorship. And I do want to throw out a couple more things here before we dive into our next segment here. Good to have Brad Olberding with us. Brad, he says Art would have been an Urban Meyer type of player. So we have that. I think you're probably right with that.
I think he's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Jason Monk, about that last segment, he said that was a great segment, and you guys exceeded my expectations for how it turned out. Thank you there, Jason. Appreciate that. Before we get into the next topic, which is going to take us for the rest of this remainder of the show and make everybody very passionate, angry, hot and heavy, and you all those everything that we like to do on the OHO podcast when talking about that team up north, Ryan asks us a question, and maybe we want to get into this real fast. For you guys, who you think will be a breakout safety or cornerback next season? We do have to replace three starters there, two at safety, one at quarterback. Chris, do you have any ideas of who you think might be a breakout safety or corner next season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Sonny Styles. I think that we saw little glimpses of him this year. And I just think that he is such a tremendous athlete and just has such a head for the game that I think that next year this kid's going to come out and become a serious force on that defense.
How about Jordan Hancock?
I like Jordan. I do like Jordan a lot. But I'll tell you, I just feel like Sonny is just – he's there. If I had to pick one, I'm definitely going with Sonny Styles.
I also have a sleeper.
Okay.
Not even in the room currently. CJ Hicks.
Really? You think that he's could make the move to safety?
If he's so good, he needs to be on the field in starting 11. Why not?
Well, I'll tell you, I think he has the athleticism. I'm not sure what kind of playing weight he's at right now. So I don't know if he'd have to slim down at all or.
I think,
but if he does, he's got the right guy running that program with the Body by Nick program down there to get him in shape to do it.
What about any incoming freshman or anybody? Monk says maybe the Simpson Hunt, the incoming freshman from Texas. You know, it's so hard to count on freshmen. You just never know. I mean, who had Denzel Burke, you know, starting day one in Minnesota, you know?
Yeah, and then look what happened with the sophomore season. He definitely hit a sophomore slump, you know?
He absolutely did. He absolutely did. So it's hard to count on those freshmen. I mean, last year on the defensive side, I don't know really –
But I'll tell you what, I think
significant playing time.
I think Denzel had some issues last year. I think, I don't know whether they were physical or psychological. I do believe that I think Denzel has a bounce back year this season. I do think it'll get fixed. I'm leaning towards he had some physical issues that we just were never made aware of. And, you know, that's the Ryan Day way, is to never make you aware of any physical issues.
Yeah. All right, here we go. This will take us to the home stretch. Team Up North football drama. Where do we even begin? I mean, this, the tagline of the show is guys talking OSU football and hating on that team up north. So that's what we're going to do here for the next 26 minutes or so of the rest of the remainder of the show. We're going to hate on this program. Now, before we get into anything else, they've beaten us 2 years in a row. Those are facts. Those are facts. Right now, they're the program that's on top of the mountain. For the first time in a long time, we're gunning for them as opposed to vice versa. And so let's just throw that out there first before we get in there. It looks like we're a bunch of sour grape Buckeye fans here. We understand they have beaten us 2 years in a row. That being said, what the heck is going on up there? I don't even know. Where do you want to start? Because I guess let's start with Jimmy and his constant love affair flirtation with the NFL. Chris, what's he doing?
Well, first of all, Eric, the Michigan program right now is a mangled cat in the hot sun 3 days old. Let me tell you, it is a complete mess. As far as Harbaugh goes, I think, first of all, I think he thrives on this drama. I think he loves this drama. I think he loves the attention. I think his desire is to be back in the NFL. I think that's what he wants. But at the same time, and Aaron has said this before, and I think you've even said this, Eric, the NFL just doesn't want him. I just don't think the NFL wants him. He's a great name to bring in to leverage other candidates. But you know what? I don't think that anybody is seriously going to take him seriously as a serious coaching candidate unless he goes out and wins a national title. Because his career has been, no matter where it's been, he's about almost being the best. He is not, you know, he's not shown himself to be the best yet. But he's really good at almost being the best. So I truly feel that Jim Harbaugh is using the NFL to leverage Michigan. And the NFL is using Jim Harbaugh to leverage other coaches, maybe force them into a decision quicker. But I don't think either one, I don't know if I should say neither one wants the other. I think Harbaugh wants the NFL. The NFL doesn't want Harbaugh right now.
So I believe very much so that Jim Harbaugh is in love with two different women. And I don't, that's the analogy I'm going to use here. Not talking about his marriage. I think he does really love his alma mater.
He does. I truly do.
But I also think that he loves the idea of getting back there and winning that Super Bowl. I think Jim Harbaugh, though he, for all his quirkiness and weirdness and recruiting sleepovers, he is a very competitive person. And it's got to be difficult sitting around the kitchen table at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
In the Harbaugh household, knowing that little brother's got a Super Bowl ring and he did so against you.
Well, and Monk mentioned it right there, man. He mentioned in his last comment, he's not even the best Harbaugh. You know, I mentioned that he's not that, you know, he hasn't proved himself to be the best. He's always the next best guy or the second best guy. He's not even the best Harbaugh. And I'll tell you what, if you go as far as coaching goes, you might even put him at third best because his old man was a hell of a high school coach.
So this is another good point here. Larry Daniels brings it up. It says, it looks like the NFL is looking for youth and head coaches. I agree, by the way. A lot of the new, younger, hot head coaches in the NFL are those young offensive coordinators, if you've been paying attention. He says, I agree with Chris. They use Harbaugh as a pawn, or so they can say, we interviewed X number of candidates. But here's the thing. I don't know that he is really even – if he really even technically interviewed. I feel like he went out and tried to say, I'm available. Are you interested? And they said, yeah, we're kind of interested. You've had a couple successful years now. Then they meet the guy, and he's so weird that they're kind of weirded out by it all. You know, they're like, eh, you know, and now you've got this issue hanging over his head, which we're going to get into in a minute as well. So my question is this. Was this the final flirtation for Jim Harbaugh with the NFL, or are we going to see this again?
We're going to see it again until he ends up back in the NFL, Eric. Either that or until the NFL coaches just come, our owners just come out and say, we have no interest in Jim Harbaugh. Until they come out and say that, he is going to go back every year. He's going to go out there like a used car salesman trying to market himself. You know, and get himself, you know, a job in the league. You know, I truly feel that his better option would be to stay. I mean, like you said, we can't deny it. He has taken down Ohio State the last 2 years. His team right now is the team to beat in the Big Ten. And he needs to focus on that and not trying to get himself back to the NFL, because he still has a lot of really good talent up there. So,
yeah, they have a lot of returning talent.
Eventually, these disruptions are going to cause an issue in the season.
Well, I think they're causing an issue right now. We're going to get into that. So I said, I also agree that Harbaugh thinks he is an NFL coach, not college, says Brian Oberding. All right, so let's move on to the next portion of this. So Harbaugh goes out, flirts with his second girlfriend, the NFL. She says, I'm sorry, you're too weird for me now. I've moved on. So he goes back to the alma mater, his other girlfriend here. And when he comes back, Chris, who does he tell he's coming back? He tells the president, Santa Ono, that he's coming back. Santa Ono then releases basically on social media, good news, Jim Harbaugh is returning for the 2023 season. I will inform athletic director Ward Manuel.
Yeah, on his personal Twitter, he releases this. This it shows, I think, the amount of dysfunction that is going on up in Ann Arbor right now. You have got a coach who doesn't get along with his AD. An AD who I think clearly has some issues with the president of the university as well. It is just a very, I think, it hasn't gotten publicly ugly yet, but I truly believe it will at some point. One or more of these people is going to have to go, because you can't continue to run a program like this. You just can't. I think that right now, the push is to get the AD out. I truly believe that. Harbaugh doesn't like him. I think that you've got the university president. You've got a university president there, by the way, who, man, the more I watch this guy, I think he's really in love with himself. He loves to get out there in front of the cameras or on his Twitter account and say something. He's like, terrible comparison, but, you know, it's like, I almost cringe when I see something come up on this guy's Twitter as much as I did when Trump would put something on Twitter. You know, and I thought, and it's kind of very similar. It's not necessarily the policies that are wrong, but boy, why don't we just shut up about it? Let somebody else, let the press secretary put it out there. In his case, let the AD put it out there. It's the AD's job. It's, you know, you have basically emasculated the AD in this program between the president and the coach. I mean, if I'm Ward Manuel, I'm not even looking to stay at this point. I'm hoping somebody comes calling, because I truly think that Harbaugh and the president of this university have really worked him over in the way things have gone down.
So when you stop and you really think about this for a second, can you imagine at any moment at Ohio State where there was something of this magnitude, Ryan Day goes out, has an interview or two, has some flirtation maybe with the Chiefs. Let's say Andy Reid retires and the Chiefs call on Ryan Day. And Ryan Day is known to go have an interview. Can you imagine President Johnson announcing to Buckeye Nation and not Gene Smith?
No, absolutely not.
The fact that Harbaugh went to the president and went over Ward Manuel is a power play.
It is.
It is an absolute power play. And it shows me, as just an observer of this, the dysfunction between Ward Manuel, the athletic director, and Jim Harbaugh, the coach. I mean, at that, if I'm Ward Manuel, I am so upset right now. And this, I think, is Jim Harbaugh's way of sticking it to Ward about the whole contract thing that had happened.
It absolutely is. It is 100% what this is about. And, you know, like I said, you've got the president of the university, who I think is just as big a part of this as what Harbaugh is. It is a train wreck up there. Why is the president of the university saying, okay, well, you know what? I'm glad you're coming back. Why don't you go ahead, notify the athletic director, notify the athletic department that you're of your plans to come back, and let them put out a press release saying how happy we are to have you back. You know, it's not the president's job to get out there and praise Harbaugh for coming back or say how thankful he is that Harbaugh is coming back. That's the job of the athletic director. I cannot, you know, we've had some pretty messed up situations at times here at Ohio State. I'm not going to lie.
Sure we have.
You know, we had
our hands aren't clean.
No, we're not. Our hands are not clean at all. But you know what? I pretty much can remember that at the forefront of all those, Gene Smith came out front and center, for better or worse, and he was the face of taking charge of what was going on.
Sure.
You know, we didn't have the president of the university coming out during the whole incident with, like you mentioned earlier, Tressel and Terrell Pryor. We didn't have the president of the university coming out when we had the whole thing going on with Urban and
Zach Smith.
Zach Smith. We didn't have that. You know, it was Gene Smith who was out there doing his job as athletic director, for better or worse, like I said, you know, because we all still hold some grudges about the self-imposed sanctions that Smith levied. But you know what? And I think Jason put it best. Michigan puts the fun in dysfunctional. They really do. Because that is a mess up there, my friend. It is a mess.
Oh, it only gets better.
Yes, it does.
Let's continue, okay? This is just the beginning here. So the NCAA, which, by the way, has zero legs to stand on at this point. I mean, they are
a neuter dog.
They are an amputee trying to kick a 45-yard field goal right now. It ain't happening.
Can we really compare that? I mean, Dempsey did have only half a foot and held the record for a long time.
Well, I'm just saying, these guys have no power at all. And Jim knows that, by the way.
Apparently
they have a couple level two issues that happen, which are, listen, every major college program in the United States has level two sanctions and violations.
Absolutely.
They all do. Okay. If they don't, they're absolutely not trying to win. Okay.
Right.
So I can't fault them for that. Then their level one issue comes when Harbaugh refuses
to cooperate.
To cooperate with them. Again,
just say I screwed up and this all goes away.
And it was because he bought some recruit some hamburgers.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah.
Even us Buckeye fans know this is stupid. But
yeah.
But just, you know, and I know he's trying to make a point by saying you're letting these other programs literally poach players from other schools, which is illegal. You're doing nothing about it, and yet you're here busting my balls over me buying a couple hamburgers for some recruits. I ain't even talking to you.
That's not why they're busting his balls, man. They're getting on him, and the reason he is facing the possible suspensions that he is now is because, let's call it what it is, Eric, he's being dishonest. He's not cooperating. It's not the hamburgers that's going to get this guy in trouble. It is the dishonesty, the deceit, the failure to cooperate. That is what's getting this guy in trouble. Basically, what he is doing is he's like the guy who gets pulled over for a traffic stop and, you know, the cops want to search him and he resists.
He pulls out his cell phone and starts recording.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. He is, and again, I don't know. Maybe this is just his insatiable desire for attention. Maybe that's what it is. He just has this need to be in the spotlight at all times, and maybe that's what he's after right now. I don't know. But what he's going to do is get himself a suspension. This is going to carry out into the next season before they get an opportunity to suspend him. And he's going to get a suspension, whether it's one game, whether it's three games, whatever it's going to be. He's going to catch a suspension for this. And what he needs to worry about now is the fact that because he's carried this on this far, and it's going to carry into the 2023 season now, they're saying, what happens if that suspension gets levied a week before the game? What happens if that suspension gets levied right before the start of bowl season?
I don't want that to happen. I don't want to hear the excuses. Right.
What happens if that suspension gets levied against Penn State, who we both think is going to be a tremendous talent in the league next year? He's not thinking. He's just not thinking because and this goes back to what I was saying earlier. He is going to make a mistake that is going to cost his team on the field. And what's going to happen at that point is he is going to lose that team.
And this feeds into what Larry's question is here. Is it possible Harbaugh is a coaching savant and just has poor ego and communication skills?
Well, yeah, he's got terrible ego and communication skills, but you know what? He's an idiot. That's his biggest problem is he's an idiot. Because you know what? He is, and Eric, I've questioned it in the past. The guy, if you look at the track record, the guy can coach.
Mm-hmm.
He can coach. It's just all the other stuff that comes with him, all that other baggage that comes with him is what makes him, I think, a detriment to a program.
And I'm going to make a comparison here that a lot of people aren't going to like, but he's kind of like Urban Meyer. He wears his welcome out after about 5 to 6 years because he wears on you.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he leans on you. He leans on the program. You know, his personality as a person and a human being, as much as he maybe wants to be straight and narrow and walk the straight line, he's just weird. Urban's was, you know, he'd always make a mistake here or there and then have a health issue.
So what you're saying is Harbaugh just, he stays somewhere for a little while and then just kicks somebody in the groin and his next thing you know, he's out on the street.
Not physically.
Right.
But emotionally.
Emotionally, yes.
I mean, I can't tell you the stories that you've heard about the 49ers front office talking about.
Oh, yeah.
How they couldn't get – I just feel like after a while, he wears on people and he needs to get out and go. And I think he's at that spot possibly up in Michigan. But it's like an infomercial. Oh, there's more.
Well, I'll tell you what, Eric, you got to check out this message that Matthew just sent, too.
Okay, let's post that up there. Let's see what that says before we get into Matt Wise here. Is that team up north problem the same as the Cowboys when they kept Jason Garrett for too long, not enough for the long time football and go to the next level? Hope that makes sense. What do you think, Chris? Do you read into that a little bit?
I could see that. I think that because Garrett at times had a little bit of success. He had a couple years of decent success, so that mirrors what he's saying here a little bit. But the fact is, and it's what we talked about earlier, he's a real good runner-up. He's really good at being almost good enough to win. And he has, like we say, he has beaten us a couple of years, so we can't take that away from him.
That's what I started this segment out with. I gave you guys credit for that, but now I'm going to bring some receipts here.
Yeah.
So your former offensive coordinator has been fired by your athletic department with very little details as to why.
I want to know exactly what these violations were of the I forget exactly how they worded it, the computer crime.
So it is, and he's being investigated for computer access crimes.
So he's hacking something. That's what computer access crimes are. He's
yes, that something. Usually this is the title given to somebody who accesses information via the computer, internet, etc., illegally without the consent of who they're getting this information from. And basically the fancy term for that is hacking. He was a hacker.
What information was he accessing? That's what I want to know. It has to be something very serious for it to be a criminal investigation.
Yes. So, and here's the other part of this is we don't know the correlation yet between that and the NCAA investigations.
Correct.
We don't know that correlation yet. I've seen people putting it out there on social media that it was child pornography. I do not believe that's the case. Because if that was the case, I think you would see some other information coming. I also think you would have seen him being arrested.
Well, and I don't think Harbaugh would keep his mouth shut about something like that. I don't even think Harbaugh is that stupid. And I don't think he'd get out of his own way long enough to keep his mouth shut about it.
I don't think that those rumors are correct. I don't think it's fair to Weiss and his family. Because if that's not the case, man, that you to put that kind of allegation on somebody.
Yeah, you put that rumor to bed.
Yeah. So I don't think that's it. But what I do think it is he has accessed, and again, this is just a rumor. But the athletic or the academic standard at the University of Michigan is, shall we say, higher than most?
Yeah, Monk just threw it up there. Exactly what I think you're going.
Grade tampering. I didn't say it. Jason did. We don't know if that is the case, but that is one of the rumors that I'm seeing a lot of, is that he was trying to change some grades. And if that's the case, this is something that the NCAA has dealt with before. North Carolina, anybody?
Yeah.
What happened to the Tar Heels? Nothing. Yep. Nothing. But here's what I'm going to get at in closing. And again, we want to thank all of you who jump on and watch the live show with us tonight. It bothers me, Chris, that the fans and the rivalry from our rival, Sean and all his buddies, right? Talk about how they are better than us academically, athletically, and as people. And when you say, man, why do you say that? It's because we are. That's literally the mindset that this entire program has, which bugs me the most about anything. I can take up the trash talking, the jiving, you know, the poking. But one of the things that upsets me is just their egotistical nature. We're better than you. You guys are a bunch of criminals, blah, 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 blah. And then when this stuff happens to you and your program, where are you at?
You're hiding under a rock.
This is
where they'll throw the athletic director out there and let him get butchered.
Exactly. If you don't think Ward Manuel is basically going to be fired over this, you're crazy. He is going to be the one. And Jim's back here going, I didn't know about any of this. It's your program.
Yeah. This is let's call it what it is, Eric. This is where Jim Tressel fell on the sword. and you're going to see Jim Harbaugh hiding under the bleachers and pushing his AD out there.
If you, as a program, as a fan base, I'm talking to you, Michigan fans, if you are who you claim you are, then you should want Jim Harbaugh fired for this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you are sitting there like a bunch of, oh boy, this is a terrible analogy, but a battered wife taking the abusive husband back. That's what you're doing.
Especially given the Zach Smith incident, probably not the best.
I'm right here, man. I'm just saying, this is what you're doing.
No.
So you don't get to point your finger down at Buckeye Nation and Buckeye fans and say, we're better than you. Look what you guys did. You guys had Urban Meyer, that incident, and all these other little things you like to point at when you yourself are doing the exact same things. You don't get to call yourself better than us.
You just hadn't been caught yet. Let's call
like
it
like I said.
Yeah.
All of our hands are dirty in this thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You're not special. You're not better than us. You know, and that whole thing with Sparty this year, I still believe you incited most of that every stinking time with Ohio State. And it was Illinois, and it was Penn State, and it was Sparty. What's the common thread through all of that? Your arrogance.
Yes.
You. Own it.
The own failure it. Of Jim Harbaugh in this case to control his program and his players. That simple.
All right, guys, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed us hating on that team up north just as much as you enjoyed us talking about the Ohio State quarterback situation and some of those quarterbacks that we would like to have seen under the Ryan Day offense. We will be back next week, 8 o'clock, same time, same channel. We want to welcome you back. Greg Fry will be our guest next week, former Ohio State quarterback. Excited to have him on the podcast next week. We're going to be doing some very neat and exciting things. Again, hit the like button, share, ring the bell so you get notified of when we go live and when we have new content that comes out. We're looking forward to having a lot more great things for you in the future as we continue to develop this great new powerful tool that we're using in EVMUX as we continue to not only come onto your screens now, not just your earbuds, but on your screens, and we try to deliver a better content every single time. So as always, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH and sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Until next time, OH!
I-O!
Go Bucks!
Oh, come, let's sing Ohio's praise and songs through alma mater ring. While our hearts rebounding thrill and joy which death alone can still. Summer's heat or winter's cold, the seasons pass, the years will roll. Time and change will surely show how firm thy friendship. Ohio.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.